Say a couple words of gratitude. Mark, thank you for preaching last week, doing such a faithful job, and great job on your children's sermon this morning. Don't feel like you need to write me a thank you note. I know you're overwhelmed by the generosity of that peppermint I gave you, but it's just a small thing, small token of my appreciation. And thank you all for your faithful giving to Mount Brook Baptist Church in 2025. I'm not going to say any figures because I'll probably mess it up if I do. I'm going to try to write them out this week. But we gave more than our budget needs in 2025. And so just know how grateful I am for your generosity and how much I praise the Lord for his gracious work to make us generous and faithful people here to what God's called us to. And so thank you. Thanks to Caleb Haynes and the Stewardship Committee for all their faithful work as well. If you hear this word from Ephesians chapter 1, beginning in verse 3. Paul writes, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him for the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with the pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. What did you get for Christmas? Nothing, somebody said. I hope you learned your lesson and you get on the good list next year. What did you get for Christmas? Now, I imagine that's a question that will be asked and answered a lot in the coming week as all the students excitedly go back to school after such a long layoff and break. There's just something that, especially among children, we can't help but talk about gifts that we've received. Probably lots of students are here this morning in new clothes that they got over the Christmas holidays. Maybe they've already done some FaceTime. Maybe they've already shared, I'll embarrass my children, their haul with one another. That's what kids say these days. I've already shared the things that they've received, but it'll continue to kind of go probably into the next week as people talk about the things that they've received with joy and excitement. And there's a part of us that the older we get, sometimes we lose a little bit the wonder of receiving gifts at Christmas. There's a part of us that longs to kind of feel that same joy and excitement that you see a kid running and getting a present underneath the Christmas tree. That for a lot of us, the gift-giving part of Christmas maybe has lost a little bit of its excitement and luster. And it might even be the case that we feel that way as we contemplate the greatest gift that we've received in the person of Jesus Christ. You see, if I ask you this morning, what's the best gift that you received at Christmas? Those of you who know what to say in church would say what? Jesus. Those of you who know what to say in church, you would say, well, of course, Jesus is the best gift that I have received this Christmas season. But I would challenge you to kind of press into your heart and your answer and tell yourself the truth. Does that gift then, if it's the best gift that you've received, does it then fill you with a sense of joy and excitement and hope such that you can't wait to share that gift with other people? And those of us who followed Christ for a little bit of time know that if we're not careful, you and I can say Jesus is the best gift we've received with about the excitement those kids felt about that peppermint in that box. that we forget and we fail to remember all that God has given us in the person of Jesus. And so Paul writes these words in Ephesians chapter 1, and language just really fails Paul in this whole book, really, as he's trying to describe in what feels like sometimes extreme or hyperbolic language that Paul understands the depths of God's grace and his mercy and the riches of his love, and he's just like throwing every word he's got at us to try to help us understand and see how precious our salvation is through faith in Jesus Christ. And he knows that he doesn't have the words, and he understands that apart from God's Holy Spirit helping us see and understand and prize Jesus, that you and I just simply won't be able to appreciate him as we should. So in Ephesians chapter 1, if you go down and read 15 to the end of the chapter, and that prayer also from chapter 3, these would be good prayers for you to pray for yourself and for our church, at least in the coming week. That God, by the power of his Holy Spirit, would stir in our hearts a greater understanding and appreciation and love for God in light of all that he's given us in Jesus. And so in the few moments that we have together in this service remaining, I just want to point out some of the ways that Paul describes the gift that we've received in Jesus, prayerfully asking the Lord to then allow us to understand and respond to this gift that he's given us. Now, the first thing that I noticed when I read Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 14, is that the gift that God has given us in Jesus was not a last-minute gift that he picked up. How many of you have felt that anxiety of, oh, wait, I didn't get whoever a gift? Husbands, I hope it wasn't your wife this year, right? There's this overwhelming anxiety that kind of wells up in our hearts like, all right, you find yourself in CVS or Walgreens, like, what we got? And we know that it's okay. At least you got something. You did follow through and get at least something. But the gifts that really matter oftentimes to us are gifts that show great planning and forethought, something that you couldn't order on Amazon Prime 2 days and get here, right? That thing that you really had to give some thought and some effort and some planning and some purpose to get in such a way that it speaks to your love and the way in which you value the person who's receiving this gift. And Paul says that the gift that God has given us, the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, was not a last-minute thing that the Lord thought up in his mind to somehow accomplish his plans and purposes of salvation. Did you hear that language that Paul talks about his predestined plan? The purpose of his will has been revealed. If you continue to read all throughout the book of Ephesians, Paul makes it very clear that what God has done in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus is the fulfillment of everything that God's people had waited for throughout the ages. And he says, we get to live in this time in salvation history where we get to see what all the prophets, all the people of God who have gone before us longed to understand and see the fulfillment of the Messiah. And I think Paul would wake us up this morning to say, don't lose sight of the gift and the precious nature of the fact that you get to live in this era of salvation history where faith has been made sight and the mystery of God's will has been made known to us. Imagine if you were still living in that era of God's salvation history where you didn't know who the Messiah would be. And there's waiting. And there's expectation, and there's longing. And Paul says, here's the thing, you and I get to live in that era, and now we get to understand who the Savior is. All those sacrifices in the Old Testament that can never fully atone for our sins, all those failed kings, all those failed prophets, you and I now get to see things into which angels long to look. And my prayer and my hope for us this year is that we value Jesus more and we wake up to the reality of this gift that God has made known, the mystery of his will to us in Jesus Christ. And it was not a last minute thing, but it was the thing that he had decided to do even before the foundation of the world, even before you were created in your mother's womb. God saw fit to put this plan into place, and we get to live now and see the fulfillment of it. The next thing I want you to see in this passage is we don't just receive a gift, but our identity is changed through faith in Jesus Christ. Did you hear that? Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him, in love he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ. You are not, if you are in Jesus Christ, just someone who has simply been forgiven of your sins and the lawgiver has deemed you innocent. But you have been adopted into the very family of God, and he looks upon you now as his son. Back during the Advent season, I was listening to the Advent devotional guide in Project 119 one morning. It was still dark. Went over to the high school track. But by the way, any of you are welcome to join me some morning over there. I'd love to see the track. I got on the track and I listened to the podcast, and it was Rachel Pitts, and she was talking about the reality of us becoming children of God. And she used this illustration that just stuck in my brain. She said, I can remember when I was in college and I loved going home for Christmas break. And there was this sense in my heart that I knew that the house was going to be decorated, things were going to be prepared, it was all going to be ready. And I couldn't wait to walk in that door and be greeted by my parents. And then she made this turn. I thought, that's not fair. Don't do that to me this morning. Don't have me crying up here while I'm jogging. Can it be that that's how you and I will feel when we are in the presence of the Lord in the new heavens and the new earth? Now, as a person who has a 10th grade son, I've already started playing that terrible game of like, two more Christmases before college now. It's a terrible game. Don't do it. As I was listening to that devotion and as I was listening to Rachel, I thought about how I would feel seeing my son walk through the doors at Christmas break. And that sense of delight and joy and like, whoo, glad you're home. Right. And I'll feel that way about the girls too. He's just first, right? But that sense of like, yes. And then I said, Lord, could it be that you feel that way about me? Could it be that you feel that way about me? That you have set your affection and love on me such that you delight in me even as I delight in my children? And the truth of Scripture is that, yes, that you have been adopted into God's family through your faith in Jesus Christ. That God has set his love upon us in the beloved such that so that you and I now participate in that relationship that the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit have enjoyed for all of eternity. Is that not amazing? Some tradition, someone would have said amen. Like, God looks upon you as his son, whether you're male or female. Paul uses that word very intentionally so that all of us understand male and female alike. We have rights and privileges as heirs now because we are related to him through our faith in Jesus Christ. And I need to be reminded by Paul, and I need the Holy Spirit to stir up in my heart the reality that I have not just been forgiven of my trespasses, as important as that is, but God has also adopted me into his family, and now he sees me as his son through faith in Jesus Christ. As a legalist, self-professed, my sense of how I'm doing with the Lord can kind of rise and fall on how life's going. You ever feel that way? Maybe if I read my Bible and prayed, which incidentally, I'm the best Christian early in the morning before anybody else wakes up. then it's a real struggle from then on out in the day, right? But the truth of Scripture is that God's love for you is constant. And He desires, of course, for us to choose His will. He desires, of course, for us to choose the path of obedience that leads to abundant life. He desires that for us because He desires our good. But there is not a moment in which He removes His love from us any more than a parent would remove their love from their child. So Paul says this gift that we've been given in Jesus is intentional. It's purposeful. You and I are now able to see the fulfillment of what saints before us longed to see. And it results in us being adopted into God's family through faith in Jesus Christ. And so now our identity is different, and God sets His love upon us in this way. We've also received forgiveness through the redemption of His blood. When you think back to the Old Testament stories, you think back to the Passover, and you think back to the ways in which God's people were in slavery in Egypt, and they had an enemy before them that was too great for them in their own strength and their own power. And the Lord providentially told them to get a lamb without spot or wrinkle and to sacrifice that ram and to put the blood over the doorpost, and they would be saved because of the blood of the lamb. And Paul, I think, looks back to that picture to describe for us the forgiveness and the redemption that we've been given through faith in Jesus Christ through His blood. That all of us stand guilty before the Lord. We cannot save ourselves in our own power, our own righteousness, or our own good works. And Jesus Christ shows the love of the Father in that He humbles Himself and becomes like us in every respect, yet without sin. And He lays His life down the cross so that you and I might be covered in the blood and forgiven fully. The gift of Jesus is purposeful. It results in our adoption as sons. It's a forgiveness that surpasses our understanding. Even as far as the east is from the west, so has God removed our transgressions from us. And He's given us an inheritance. Paul says here in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11, "In Jesus we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will." Now, I have no idea what I might one day inherit. Do any of you know? You're probably better off if you don't know what you're going to inherit. I don't know if I'm going to inherit anything in this life. Paul says that you and I, through faith in Jesus Christ, because we've been adopted into His family, that you and I have an inheritance that is eternal and it is undefiled and it is imperishable for us. That as followers of Jesus Christ, this life is not all that there is for us. A lot of days I want to say amen to that point too. As we walk through hardship and difficulty, as we yield our purposes and our plans and our resources to God's purpose and plan and will, that there will be times in which you and I are called to sacrifice for the sake of the gospel and to sacrifice for others. And the truth of Scripture is that anything we give up in this life pales in comparison to the inheritance that we'll one day receive in glory. So He says, we have an inheritance. And then He says, just in case you're worried that you might lose it, you are sealed by the promised Holy Spirit. That imagery is kind of the imagery of a brand being placed on an animal. To say, that animal belongs to me. In a similar way, God has sealed us with His promised Holy Spirit. And there is this reality that He will see that His good work that He started in us in Christ will be carried on to completion. That your salvation is not ultimately dependent upon your ability to keep it together. And for those of us who know of our need of God's grace to sustain us to the end, that is incredibly good news. That when I appear before the Lord in the new heavens and the new earth, what I will inherit is not dependent on how well I've done to live into God's call upon my life, but it will be the Holy Spirit who has kept me to the end. Paul is using language to stir our hearts and our minds, and he would go on and on about the riches of God's grace that he's lavished upon us and the person of Jesus. And then he's going to go on the rest of the letter, and he's going to talk about how we ought to live our lives in light of this great salvation that we've been given. But all of it hinges upon whether or not you and I believe that we've been given something great in Jesus. So I invite you this coming week to ask the Lord to stir up your heart and your affections for Jesus. Will you just do that? Will you pray those prayers for yourself and for those of us who are followers of Jesus here at Mount Brook Baptist Church? We might begin to understand the love of God that surpasses knowledge of all that he's given us in Jesus, and as we value Jesus more, that the joy of God's salvation would overflow in a life of faithfulness. I invite you to pray with me. Father, we thank you so much for the gift of your word, and we thank you for the gift of Jesus. We ask forgiveness for when we've failed to value him as we should. And so we pray that our confession that Jesus is the best gift that we've received will be more than lip service in the coming year. That we would understand the depths of your mercy, the ways in which you've lavished your grace upon us, and we would yield ourselves fully to your plans and your purposes in this world. We offer this prayer in the strong name of Jesus. Amen. If you're here this morning and you've never publicly professed your faith in Jesus, or if you feel like God's calling you to unite with us and be a member here at Mount Brook Baptist, I'll be at the front to receive you, or if you respond by standing and singing where you are, I invite you to join me as we stand.